Judges chapter 19. We're going to go fast and furious, get through three chapters. They go pretty fast. It came to pass in those days when there was no king in Israel. Stop me if you heard this one, right? There was no king. It doesn't say it, everyone was right in his own eyes, but it just, again, it reminds us there's no king in Israel. But that's wrong. That's wrong. From Exodus chapter 2, there's a king in Israel. God offers himself. And he calls on people to obey. And the quid pro quo is deliverance. Well, it still is. I'm going to save you from damnation eternally. You want to follow me. And it's not even a thing like, well, I'm the boss and I tell you. It's not a crazy... We don't have to throw virgins into a volcano to appease our angry God, lest he blow up. I know the way that I have for you. It's a good way. I know the plans that I have for you, God says. You have your own way of doing things. That's going no place good. It's gonna be chaos. It's going to be disaster. Train wreck, however you want to say it. Came to pass in those days, there was no king in Israel, that there was a certain Levite. Okay, so he's of the Levitical tribe. Is he a priest? Not necessarily. There's one family in the Levites that is a priestly clan. The others are just Levites. They help out. They minister. They're to the Lord, but they don't get to do sacrifices, okay? So he's a Levite. That's what we know. I think he's kind of priestly, or at least acquainted with it, because he knows how to make sacrifices, and we'll see that later on. A certain Levite sojourning on the side of Mount Ephraim, who took to him a concubine out of Bethlehem, Judah. Any problems so far? Yeah, of course. Not quite a wife. Why not? Why not? Well, he thinks, well, we'll just live together, and we'll test it out. We'll see if that works out good, then maybe we'll... Because he's a millennial and he's an idiot, okay? Which I know I'm being redundant. Oh, not all millennials are idiots. I've known a couple who weren't. And those are Christians because they go by the word of God. But if you're talking to their peers and stuff like that, well, you don't just buy a car without test driving it. That's rock solid wisdom right there, Mr. Man. I'll tell you what. Factor in the sarcasm. So he takes him a concubine out of Bethlehem, Judah. And by the way, Bethlehem, Judah, that's the one Jesus was born in. There's a Bethlehem up north. There's a Bethlehem down about 8 miles south of Jerusalem, Bethlehem in Judah. And his concubine played the whore against him. She is a millennial too. And went away from him unto her father's house to Bethlehem, Judah, and was there 4 whole months, and her husband, now it's not the right word, really. Her significant other, they wrestle with the language like we do. We don't know what to call it. He's not quite his wife, live-in, honey, whatever. He's not really, or just, you know. I like when a 60 or 70-year-old guy introduces the lady he's living with as his girlfriend. I'm wrestling here. I'm trying to be a little bit gracious, but I don't know that I can be. I always think, like, how long have you been an adolescent now? Is there any, like, suddenly you're going to become a man or something? You're always going to be a boy who shaves. I don't know. And her husband arose and went after her. 4 months, okay, to speak friendly unto her and to bring her again, having a servant with him. She already was unfaithful to him, and they weren't married. What's the thought process here, dude? Neither one of them are... There's plenty of fish in the sea. What's the... All right, he goes... He has, you know, he goes after. having a servant with him and a couple of asses, and she brought him into her father's house. When the father of the damsel saw him, he rejoiced to meet him. Yeah, get her out of here. She didn't have all mine. She'd eat me out of house and home. And his father-in-law, the damsel's father, retained him, and he abode with him 3 days, so they did eat and drink and lodge there. Came to pass on the fourth day, when they arose early in the morning, he rose up to depart, and the damsel's father said unto his son-in-law, which wasn't really his son-in-law, right? Comfort thine heart with a morsel of bread, and afterward go your way. And they sat down to eat and drink, both of them together, for the damsel's father had said unto the man, be content, I pray thee, and tarry all night, and let thine heart be merry. And when the man rose up to depart, his father-in-law urged him, therefore he lodged there again. Oh, my God, it sounds like one of those jokes, you know, and the third time's the payoff. He rose early in the morning on the fifth day to depart, and the damsel's father said, comfort thy heart, I pray thee, and they tarried until afternoon. And they did both eat, both of them. And when the man rose up to depart, he and his concubine and his servant, his father-in-law, the damsel's father, said unto him, behold now, the day draweth toward evening. I pray you, tarry all night. Behold, the day groweth to an end. Lodge here, that thine heart may be merry, and tomorrow get you early on the way, that thou mayest go home. But the man would not tarry. He's like, now we've played this out. I know how this ends. Forget about it. So he finally saying, let me go. I got to get out of here. The man would not tarry that night, but he rose and departed and came over against Jebus, which is Jerusalem. It just explains it to us. Jerusalem goes through a lot of name changes depending on who's living there. And there were with him two asses saddled. His concubine also was with him. And when they were by Jebus, the day was far spent, and the servant said unto his master, come, I pray thee, let us turn in unto the city of the Jebusites and lodge in it. It's not, at this time, it's early on in the book of Judges, and Jerusalem doesn't, they kind of defeat it once, and it kind of goes back to being the Jebusites and stuff like this, and later on, it's not defeated and owned and outright part of Israel until David takes it and makes it his capital. His master said to him, we will not turn aside hither unto the city of a stranger that is not of the city of Israel. We will pass over to Gibeah. That's a bad choice, as it turns out. You'd think it was a common sense choice because, hey, we ain't going to stay with these heathen. We're going to be with people of our own. And they passed on and went their way, and the sun went down upon them when they were by Gibeah, which belongeth to Benjamin. And they turned aside thither to go in and lodge in Gibeah. And when he went in, he sat down in the street of the city, for there was no man that took them into his house to lodging. And behold, there came an old man from his work out of the field at even, which was also of Mount Ephraim, and he sojourned in Gibeah. But the men of the place were Benjamites, and when he had lifted up his eyes, he saw a wayfaring man in the street of the city. And the old man said, whither goest thou, and whence comest thou? And he said unto him, we are passing from Bethlehem Judah toward the side of Mount Ephraim, from whence I am I. And I went to Bethlehem Judah, but I am now going to the house of the Lord. And there is no man that receiveth me to house. There's no Motel 6. You took somebody in, and it was an honor to show hospitality, to take care of them. And he goes on to say, yet there is both straw and provender for our asses, and there is bread and wine also for me and for my handmaid and for the young man which is with thy servants. There is no want of anything. And the old man said, peace be with thee. However, let all thy wants lie upon me. Only lodge not in the street. The guy knows some stuff, okay? And he does what people are supposed to be doing, extending hospitality. I don't know who the old man is. He's a good guy, obviously, and we don't know his name or anything else. And he brought him into his house and gave provender under the asses, and they washed their feet and did eat and drink. Now as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, beset the house round about. Belial's a name for a demon. It's basically it's saying worthless men, okay? Now they beset the house round about and beat at the door and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring forth the man that came into thine house that we may know him. It's not a meet and greet. They're talking sexually. This is depravity. I think we all understand that. This is well after Sodom and Gomorrah. We know nothing good is going to come of this, but they are sodomites and they're not subject, God's not their king, obviously. This is just wickedness and depravity all the way around. And the man, the master of the house, went out unto them. It's like Lot, right? And said unto them, Nay, my brethren, nay, I pray you, do not so wickedly, seeing that this man is coming to my house. Do not this folly. You see, hospitality again. No, he's a guest at my house. This can't happen. It's absolutely unacceptable. Behold, here is my daughter, a maiden, means virgin, and his concubine. Them I will bring out now, and humble ye them, and do with them what seemeth good unto you. But unto this man do not so vile a thing. He didn't have a 9mm. He didn't have a Glock. He didn't have a high-powered rifle. But the answer is still no. Go away. What don't you understand about no? This, behold my daughter, my virgin daughter, and his concubine. Go ahead, have it them. That, I don't understand that. People have told me before, well, you got to understand the culture. No, I don't understand. And I'm never, if I ever even think about trying to explain this away as a good thing, drag me outside, tar and feather me, and send me packing. God, I don't care about, I feel a little exercised about this. I don't care about, this is the culture. God judges culture. And he gets to say what's right and what's wrong. In no culture in the history of the world is this okay. It's not okay for them to say, send this guy out that we might know him. It's not okay that the guy says, well, that's wrong, but look, I got my virgin daughter here and we got this concubine here. Go ahead and have it them. In what world is that okay? You are going to have your way with anybody in this house over my dead body. That's the right answer. And Mr. Showing up, visiting there, and your servant, be ready to die for a good cause tonight. And your death is honorable, and we will honor you, and we will find out your names and say, this is what godliness, this is what manliness and godliness looks like. Have my daughter. How does the daughter feel about that? Well, okay, Dad, as long as the strangers are all set, we don't care. You know, they can gang rape us. We're perfectly okay with that. When men aren't men, I got to say it. In America in 2024, we have a very truncated childhood. You're looking at porn and starting to do things that you oughtn't be doing or thinking about at 9, 10, 11. And childhood used to be a wonderful time of chasing frogs and thinking girls are icky and just wonderful time with hanging out with the boys and doing all kinds of boy stuff and girl stuff and tomboys, and we don't care. It's good. It's all fine. You know, there's a time for playing in the mud and loving it. That has been shrunk. And now the next phase, and the Bible knows nothing of adolescence, okay? When I was a child, I did childish things. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Man, child, okay? And the line is bar mitzvah. Now we have this child, and we have this man, hopefully they reach this, and then we have this long period in between called adolescence. It starts at 9, God help us, and it ends at 40, if we're fortunate. And in between, we have this long period, boys who shave. What's fallen by the wayside is responsibility and chivalry. I was making this point the other day, as I do. impromptu sermons that nobody's asking for. And I said, you know, what's fallen by the wayside in all this, you know, because guys were acting really irresponsible. I had a column on it in front of everybody. What's fallen by the wayside is guys are irresponsible and there's no such thing as chivalry anymore. And there was a girl, she used to partner up with me and we used to work together. And she said, "What's chivalry?" And she's kind of bright. She's in some ways, she's her own worst enemy, but that's story of another time. But when she said, "What's chivalry?" I said, "You know, all the time we've talked, you've said some really sad things, and that's the saddest thing yet." I wanted to cry. She didn't know what chivalry was. And I explained, you know, opening a door for a lady or refraining from salty language in front of a lady. Forget Sir Walter Raleigh with the coat on. That ain't happening any place I'm checking out. That's the thing. And guys are perfectly. So we go to the gym and she's upset because all the guys are swearing. And I should speak to them all and say, "Stop that. Well, there's a lady present. What am I going to do with all the ladies who are swearing? They're all just as bad." We're living in a... If that was the worst, if people just had a bad language, I'd wear earplugs and ignore everything and I'd play my music super loud until my brain turned into wheat tea. I don't even care. And I wouldn't listen to all that stuff if that was the worst. "Behold, here's my daughter." But the men would not hearken to him, so the man took his concubine and brought her forth unto them, and they knew her and abused her all the night until the morning. Apparently, they don't take the daughter, just the concubine, it looks like. They abused her all night until the morning, and when the day began to spring, they let her go. I just want your mind to focus on the horror of that just for a second. "Then came the woman in the dawning of the day and fell down at the door of the man's house where her lord was till it was light. And her lord rose up in the morning," because I hope he had a good night's sleep. "He opened the door of the house and went out to go his way. And behold, the woman, his concubine, was fallen down at the door of the house and her hands were upon the threshold." I'm sorry about this. I don't apologize for the word of God. This is kind of really tough sledding. I know, but we don't skip verses. God wants to say something to us. "So her hands are on the threshold, and he said unto her, 'Up and let us be going.'" What a classic guy. He's a sweetheart. I love this guy. He's such a gentleman. "All right, well, let's go. Honey, are you okay? There's nothing that can be said, really, but this is beyond the pale, okay? I wish I knew him. I wish I had a chance to talk with him. "But none answered. Then the man took her up upon an ass, and the man rose up and gat him into his place. And when he was come into his house, he took a knife and laid hold of his concubine and divided her together with her bones." He's a Levite. He's cutting her up Levitically, like a sacrifice. He's not going to sacrifice her. "He cut her into 12 pieces and sent her on all the coasts of Israel." You know, you don't die of being raped. I'm sorry, I don't want to describe it any more than that. Let's leave it at that. It's not a death sentence. What happened beyond that where this lady died? I don't even want to go there. I don't even want to go there in my own mind, never mind in your mind. "It was so that all that saw it said, 'There was none such deed done nor seen from the day that the children of Israel came up out of the land of Egypt unto this day. Consider of it, take advice, and speak your minds.'" So you get an arm in the mail. But it's not just an arm. We've never seen anything like this. What is... Chapter 20. What should we do about this? Then all the children of Israel went out, and the congregation was gathered together as one man, from Dan even to Beersheba, right? Dan to Beersheba, we've seen that before, and the land, with the land of Gilead unto the Lord in Mizpah. So there, enough said. And the chief of all the people, even of the tribes of Israel, present themselves in the assembly of the people of God, 400,000 footmen that drew sword. This is early on. Now remember, a lot of these guys have fought the wars of Canaan. They're valiant men, they're seasoned fighters. Now the children of Benjamin heard that the children of Israel were gone up to Mizpah. Then said the children of Israel, tell us, how was this wickedness? And the Levite, the husband of the woman that was slain, answered and said, I came unto Gibeah that belongeth to Benjamin, I and my concubine to lodge, and the men of Gibeah rose against me and beset the house round about me by night and thought to have slain me, and my concubine they have forced, because I threw her out into them, said, have at her. He kind of leaves that part out of the story, right? Have they forced, raped, okay, that she is dead. I took my concubine, I cut her in pieces, and sent her throughout all the country of the inheritance of Israel, for they have committed lewdness and folly in Israel. They sure have. They sure have, okay? He's not lily white pure in all this either. He didn't kill her. Behold, ye are all children of Israel. Give here your advice and counsel. All the people rose as one man, saying, we will not any of us go into his tent, neither will we any of us turn into his house. But now this shall be the thing which we will do to Gibeah. We will go up by lot against it, and we'll take 10 men of 100 throughout all the tribes of Israel, 100 out of 1,000, 1,000 out of 10,000, fetch victual for the people, they may do when they come to Gibeah of Benjamin, according to all the folly that they have wrought in Israel. So they set up a supply chain. This is all good. I'm not having any problem with any of this so far. Remember the battle that they lost? Jericho, as you so wonderfully said, and the walls came tumbling down. And then what happened next? What? They went on with and didn't check out with the Lord. And what was the battle there? They lost it. Ai, they lost Ai, and all their victories they learned early on. The victories they just mount up. Let's see God. Let's see what God has to say. Let's let God tell us the plan. How do we lose? Well, we don't check with God. Listen, nothing. The more things change, the more they stay the same. I got my plan. I'm just going to go. And by the way, God bless my plan. How about you do my plan? God says, well, I ain't got time for that. I got my plan. I got my stuff. I got my agenda. I got my, and bless my stuff. And God's like, one of us is Lord. One of us is king. One of us is servant. We got to figure out who's who or the thing's not going to work. It's like a push me, pull you. We're both trying to get our own. It's just not going to go very well, right? But they seem to be doing the right thing. This is wrong. We can't let this go on. So all the men of Israel were gathered against the city, knit together as one man. Good, good, good. And the tribes of Israel sent men throughout the tribe of Benjamin, saying, what wickedness is this that is done among you? Good. Let Benjamin say, hey, we're with. We ain't. We're not condoning this sort of activity. We're with you. Give them the option. Was that their decision? Sadly not. Now, therefore, deliver us the men, the children of Belial, which are in Gibeah, that we may put them to death. That's very, very reasonable. That's what the law requires. Attempted sodomy and gang rape are things that are punishable by death and still should be. I'm specifically talking about rape. In the Old Testament, rape was punishable by death. Okay? I don't see that God's changed his mind on that. But the children of Benjamin would not hearken to the voice of the of their brethren, the children of Israel. This is where sin gets really complicated. Sin is sin and needs to be dealt with. Now, when we don't deal with sin, it's a cancer. It's yeast. It leavens the whole lump. It's going to work itself through the whole lump. You can't just section it off. Hey, boys being boys, what are you going to do, right? Come on, just ease up. Let's sit down, talk this over. No, this is drastic. This is bad. The children of Benjamin gathered themselves together out of the cities under Gibeah to go out to battle against the children of Israel. Are you kidding me? You want to kill people or be killed because these sodomites gang raped and killed a woman? You want to defend that to your death or to their death? Somebody help me with this. What is the thought process here? Sin is so sinful, isn't it? Why do you think we're so upset about sin? It's just like a cancer. It just affects everybody. And the children of Benjamin, every time I hear Benjamin, the rest of the book, I think the book, this book, the whole book, even like, Saul, Paul, he's a Benjamite. And I think of this story. It never goes away. The first king, Saul, a Benjamite. This stain, it's there. It's like, it's never going away. But the people of Israel, they're doing the right thing. Are they going to do the right thing? They're not going to do it in the best, rightest way. So they come out to fight against their brother, the children of Israel. The children of Benjamin numbered at the time about out of the cities 26,000 men that drew sword beside the inhabitants of Gibeah, which were numbered 700 chosen men. 700 chosen men. Among all this people were 700 chosen men left-handed. Everyone could sling stones at a hair's breadth and not miss. Wow, that's pretty good. So using this precision ability to slaughter your brothers, huh? And the men of Israel beside Benjamin were numbered 400,000 men that drew sword. All these were men of war, to wit, the wars of the conquest of the land of Canaan. And the children of Israel rose and went to the house of God and asked counsel of God. This is my little heart thing, but they didn't do it quite good. And let's visit here. This is a hard passage, by the way, I'll admit it. They went to the house. Children of Israel rose and went up to the house of God and asked counsel of God and said, which of us shall go up first to the battle against the children of Benjamin? The Lord said, Judah shall go up first. Judah always goes up first. I guess if those are all my choices, Judah. There's no soul searching. There's no really. Okay, God, do you want me to do A or B? What if he doesn't want me to do either one of those things? And by the way, God colors outside the lines. He just really does. He doesn't like A or B. Lord, blank check, you're leading, you're God, what do you want me to do? Is really the better thing, right? Well, we're going to go kill Benjamin. Which of us should go up first? Judah. Some of you know how the story plays out, so I think they're doing a right thing in a wrong way. Can I put it that way? It's like when David moves the ark to Jerusalem. It's the right thing. He didn't do it the right way. He should have checked with some people who knew Torah and, no, we don't carry it that way, Dave. We carry it this way. And the men of Israel went out to battle against Benjamin. The men of Israel put themselves in array to fight against them at Gibeah, and the children of Benjamin came forth out of Gibeah and destroyed down to the ground of the Israelites that day 22,000 men. Yikes, 22,000 Israelite men of valor, died because, hey, we have the right to gang rape anyone we want. 22,000 widows, how many thousand children don't have a dad now? And the people, the men of Israel, encouraged themselves and set their battle again in array in the place where they put themselves in array the first day. And the children of Israel went up, verse 23, and wept before the Lord until even, and asked counsel of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother? And the Lord said, go up against them. That's a better question, okay? Now, it sounds like, boy, we got our heads handed to us. Should we be doing this, God? It's a better question, but it still sounds like something's missing here. They're weeping, that's good. They're before the Lord. They're asking counsel, and the Lord says, yeah, go up. And children of Israel came near again, the children of against the children of Benjamin the second day. And Benjamin went forth against them out of Gibeah the second day and destroyed down to the ground of the children of Israel. Again, 18,000 men, all of these that drew the sword. Now we're up to 40,000 if you're doing the math. How many men of Benjamin are dead yet? Well, I don't know that. Some, I don't know. They're going to get wiped out. I'm going to tell you the end of the story. Spoiler alert. We got 40,000 Israelites dead. I don't know. Did God lead them in a way that, yeah, go ahead and take care of business, and then God wasn't with them? I don't want you to think, unless I push just the right buttons with God and just ask him just the right way, he's going to, aha, you didn't say this. You didn't say in Jesus' name it in your prayer. Ha-ha. He's not psychotic trying to trick us. But there is a, I've got an agenda, God, how are you going to bless? And I'm not interested in your agenda, Adam. I'm interested in my agenda. And I'll bless what I want to bless. And then I'm like, well, what do you want me to do? And I don't know. I think if your heart's right and you're open before God, I think blessing. I can't... It's a hard passage to explain, okay? Then all the children of Israel and the people went up and came unto the house of God and wept and sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until evening and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. I think that was day one stuff. I really think that was what should have happened. Lord, this sin, this great wickedness, this evil, none of us are perfect, Lord, but this, we can't allow this. Lord, what do you want us to do? How do you want us to do this? How do you want to, and just kind of like, you know, seek the Lord. And try, and I think we would have been 40,000 men ahead. I think, like I say, it's a hard passage. And the children of Israel inquired of the Lord, for the Ark of the Covenant of God was there in those days. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, is the first time we read about Phinehas in this whole book. It's early on because Phinehas is still alive. It's 400 years in Judges, remember that? And here's Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron. He stood before it in those days saying, shall I yet again go out to battle against the children of Benjamin and my brother, or shall I cease? And the Lord said, go up for tomorrow, I will deliver them into thine hand. I want to judge Benjamin. They've been really acting out, and I want you to, but it's got to be a certain way. Judgment begins at the house of God. God's not going to use impure people to judge impure people. There's got to be like some, Lord, use me to fight your battles. I'm more wicked than they are, but it doesn't matter. You should bless me because in this situation, I'm on the right side. I don't know. I offer that as a possible solution, a possible suggestion. And Israel set liars in wait round about Gibeah. Where'd they get that? Well, I think God told them. And the children of Israel went up against the children of Benjamin on the third day and put themselves in array against Gibeah as at other times. The children of Benjamin went out against the people, were drawn away from the city, and they began to smite of the people and kill as at other times in the highways, of which one goeth up to the house of God and the other to Gibeah in the field. About 30 men of Israel. That's a far cry from 40,000. And the children of Benjamin said, they are smitten down before us as at the first. But the children of Israel said, let us flee and draw them from the city unto the highways. And all the men of Israel rose out of their place and put themselves in array at Baal Tamar. And the liers in wait of Israel came forth out of their places, even out of the meadows of Gibeah. And they came against Gibeah, 10,000 chosen men out of all Israel. And the battle was sore, but they knew not that evil was near them. And the Lord smote Benjamin before Israel, and the children of Israel destroyed the Benjamites that day, 25,000 and 100 men, all that drew the sword. So the children of Benjamin saw they were smitten, for the men of Israel gave place to the Benjamites because they trusted unto the liers in wait, which they had set beside Gibeah. Sounds like the Battle of Ai, right? And the liers in wait hasted and rushed upon Gibeah, and the liers in wait drew themselves along and smote all the city with the edge of the sword. Now we have women and children dying and everything else, and old men who are beyond the age of, what are they putting to death? All the people who weren't in the battle. Your sin goes everywhere. I was saying, even today, I can sin. I have free will to sin, but I don't have the free will to choose the punishment. It can go anywhere. As we're fond of saying here, choose to sin, choose to suffer. Now there was an appointed sign between the men of Israel and liers in wait, that they should make great flame with smoke rise up out of the city. And the men of Israel retired in the battle. Benjamin began to smite and kill the men of Israel, about 30 persons. For they said, surely they are smitten down before us. So at the first battle, when the flame began to arise out of the city with the pillars of smoke, the Benjamites looked behind them. Behold, the flame of the city ascended up to heaven. When the men of Israel turned again, the men of Benjamin were amazed, for they saw that evil was come upon them. Evil was come upon you when you went to fight against the will of God. You had this little limited success at the beginning because God is gracious, but know for sure, when you're on the wrong side of God, it's never going to come out right. Now they turned their backs before the men of Israel unto the way of the wilderness, but the battle overtook them, which came out of the cities. They destroyed in the midst of them. Thus they enclosed the Benjamites round about and chased them and trode them down with ease over against Gibeah toward the sun rising. And there fell of Benjamin 18,000 men. All these were men of valor, and they turned and fled toward the rock, unto the rock of Rimmon. And they gleaned out of them in the highways 5,000 men and pursued hard after them unto Gedom and slew 2,000 men of them, so that all which fell that day of Benjamin were 25,000 men that drew the sword. All these were men of valor. But 600 men turned and fled to the wilderness under the rock Rimmon, and abode in the rock Rimmon 4 months, a defensible place. And the men of Israel turned again upon the children of Benjamin and smote them with the edge of the sword, as well the men of every city as the beast and all that came to hand. Also they set on fire all those cities that they came to. Wow. In retrospect, we had guys, they behaved badly, and you want to put them to death. Here they are. Was a better selection, do you think, in retrospect? One more chapter. You ready? Now the men of Israel had sworn in Mizpah, saying, there shall not any of us give his daughter unto Benjamin to wife. And the people came to the house of God and abode there till evening before God and lifted up their voices and wept sore. I don't know that I would. I'm not that hard-hearted, but boy, you really made your bed. And said, O Lord God of Israel, why has this come to pass in Israel that there should be today one tribe lacking in Israel? Because sin will do that. And it came to pass on the morrow that the people rose early and built there an altar and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. That's wrong. That's wrong. You don't build altars. There's a place already established. And the children of Israel said, I think their heart's in a right place, but they're doing wrong. And the children of Israel said, who is there among all the tribes of Israel that came not up with the congregation unto the Lord? For they had made a great oath concerning him that came not up to the Lord to Mizpah, saying, he shall surely be put to death. Don't take oaths. We're not going to give them of our daughters. Don't take oaths. Oh, anyone who didn't come up, we'll put that city to death. Oaths are bad. If you take it, you got to keep it. Ask Japheth there, Jephthah, what he thinks about oaths. And the children of Israel repented them for Benjamin, their brother, and said, there is one tribe cut out off from Israel this day. How shall we do for wives for them that remain, seeing we have sworn by the Lord that we will not give them of our daughters to wives? And they said, what one is there of the tribes of Israel that came not up to Mizpah to the Lord? And behold, there came none to the camp from Jabesh-Gilead to the assembly. For the people were numbered, and behold, there were none of the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead there, because they decided, I ain't playing this game, or they said, nobody gave them the word. I don't know which, but nobody came. And the congregation sent thither 12,000 men of the valiantest, and commanded them, saying, go and smite the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead with the edge of the sword, with the women and children. This is a wonderful choice. This is a great idea. Again, factor in my sarcasm, please. This is the thing that you shall do. You shall utterly destroy every male, every woman that hath lain by man. There's some homemaker there, has no idea what's going on. These guys show up and start killing everybody. And she's watching her children die, watching her husband be killed. I'm making bread. Are you kidding me right now? Are you killing me right now? What? This is not a good idea. Does God say, you know what I want you to do? Because they sought the Lord, and God led them in this. It's back to every man doing what's right in his own eyes. And they found among the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead 400 young virgins that had never known man by lying with any male. And they brought them to the camp of Shiloh, which is the land of Canaan. The whole congregation sent some to speak to the children of Benjamin that were in the rock Rimmon, and to call peaceably unto them. And Benjamin came again at that time, and they gave them wives which they had saved alive of the women of Jabesh-Gilead, and yet so they sufficed them not, because there's 600 of them, there's only 400 women. So the math here doesn't work. I wonder how the women of Jabesh-Gilead felt about this. Did anyone ask them? Do they have a voice? Apparently not. And the people repented them for Benjamin, because that the Lord had made a breach in the tribes of Israel. That's wrong. That's wrong. Benjamin did that to themselves. The men of Gilead did that. Did that to themselves. Gibeah, not Gilead. The men of Gibeah did that to themselves. Don't blame God for any of this train wreck. He's not in charge. There's no king in Israel. Certainly not Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, because it would have all come out better than this. And God says, I've got a plan. Why don't you consult me? Oh, I know. We got Jabesh-Gilead over here. Well, let's go kill all them. And, oh, good. We got 400 virgins here. Okay, guys. Here's your wives. Time to repopulate. I know. It's a hard passage. Hang on, we're gonna be done. Then the elders of the congregation said, how shall we do for wives for them that remain, seeing the women are destroyed out of Benjamin? And they said, there must be an inheritance for them that be escaped of Benjamin, that a tribe be not destroyed out of Israel. Howbeit, we may not give them wives of our daughters, for the children of Israel have sworn, saying, cursed be he that giveth a wife to Benjamin. Then they said, behold, there is a feast of the Lord in Shiloh yearly, in a place which is on the north side of Bethel, on the east side of the highway that goeth up from Bethel to Shechem, and on the south side of Lebonah. Therefore they commanded the children of Benjamin, saying, go and lie in wait in the vineyard, and see, and behold, if the daughters of Shiloh come out to dance in dances, Then come ye out of the vineyards and catch you every man his wife of the daughters of Shiloh and go to the land of Benjamin. So you want to go and fetch one of these dancing women who are worshiping the Lord, hit it on the head with your club and drag it off to your cave, you Neanderthal. This is wonderful. There's no question this is what God would have for them. Is God's will sought out in this at this time? No. Look it, they wept before the Lord, they fasted, they sought the Lord, and God said, okay, now I can work with you. This is what I want you to do. And I want you to have victory over Benjamin. I want Benjamin to feel the sting of being on the wrong side of my will. Go ahead and do this. That was a wonderful plan they did. Now what? Oh, you don't care about God anymore. We got our own agenda. We should really be hard on them, but not too hard. I mean, we got to consider ourselves in this. Do we? Now, I'm not. I never counsel anybody. Okay, dancing girl, go get, abduct, make her your. I've never counseled anyone with this. Me and Sue do counseling together. You don't ever hear me say anything like that, right? Okay, so I'm not this bad, so therefore I'm okay. Well, no. We seek the Lord, and the Lord has a wonderful plan for our lives, and he tells us. And the next time, we're all self. No, we got this. I never say this. Lord, I got this. I can figure this out. I know what to do in this situation. I never say that. But I kind of say that by not seeking the Lord and not trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your paths. Maybe. No, there's no. What do you want, Lord? I'm going to follow it as hard as I know how. Will it go well? Yeah, only always. And if I'm talking to you, I'm talking to me. It shall be when their fathers or their brethren come unto us to complain that we will say unto them, be favorable unto them for our sakes, because we reserve not to each man his wife in the war. For ye did not give unto them at this time that you should be guilty. See, you didn't give them. They stole them. You said, see the Jewish mind here a little bit looking for it. You know, in the seventh year, you can't plant or reap in Israel. But you can lease the land to your neighbor who's not Israelite, and he can plant and reap, and you can get the reward, and he can just pay you and get a certain, see? And so we get around, and we maneuver around, and there's people who do the same thing in Christian circles too. I know what God said, but, and we try to, you're not guilty because you didn't give your daughters to them. They stole them fair and square. So the children of Benjamin did so and took them wives according to the number of them that danced, whom they caught, and they went and returned unto their inheritance and repaired the cities and dwelt in them. And they lived happily ever after. And the children of Israel departed thence at that time, every man to his tribe and to his family, and they went out from thence, every man to his inheritance. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. The reason we're talking about crazy stuff and dancing abductions and killing women and children and burning down cities and gang raping concubines because we couldn't get at the guy that we wanted to rape. The reason we're talking about all this, sordid things that I'm putting before you, and they are sordid, I say it in the best way, it's the word of God, no apologies there, but they're unsavory things we wouldn't normally talk about. Why? Why are we talking about this? Because every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And if we come away with one thing from this book and I say, what's Judges about? You know what it's about? It's about the folly of every man doing what's right in his own eyes. Now we have a living parable in front of us. It's called America 2024. Every man doing what's right in his own eyes. So what's happening? Chaos? Crime? We don't know what person's supposed to marry what person. We don't even know how many genders there are. We used to know there were two. Now we lost our. We don't even know how many genders there are. And craziness has happened on every level. Let's vote Democrat because that'll fix things. Oh, that didn't fix things. Oh, let's swing over here and let's vote Republican this time. That'll fix things. Oh, that didn't fix things. Let's. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who we vote. We haven't got rid of the big problems in America that are still confronting us. We voted Republican, and we have porous borders. We voted Democrat, and we have porous borders. And you can say, well, it's more porous or less porous. Vote your biblical, and if you don't know, I'll tell you who to vote for, okay? I won't do it from this pulpit, of course. That's a little unsavory, but I have no problem voicing my opinion. But you notice how we're trying to fix it, driving, we can't fix it? You know why? Because every man's doing what's right in his own eyes. There's some people that are above the law. There's some people, I don't care who the president is. I'm going to run my little department this way. I'm going to do this, and I don't care who the president is. I'm the president of my universe. I know what's right, and I know what's wrong, and I don't care what the White House says. And we can't, these people don't get elected. We can't get rid of them. Well, we can, and God can. And we can pray, and we can be aware. And this is kind of what I was trying to say Sunday morning. I don't know how well or how poorly I said it. Know what's going on. Be like the men of Issachar who understood the times and knew what Israel ought to do. Fair enough? Father, thank you for this. I know we talked about some stuff tonight that was... Father, it's not pleasant to think about and to talk about and to subject our minds to it. It's your word. I mean, we're not apologizing for your word. We're not editorializing, but we see, Lord, that sin is just, it goes everywhere, and it leads to some really, really dark places. Lord, have us be done with it once and for all. It's just unsavory business. Lord, at the end of the day, we really want your kingdom to come and your will to be done, and we don't know always what's the right thing and what's the wrong thing. But you do. And we don't know what the future holds, but you do. And so let us help us, Lord, to follow you with all our hearts and lean not on our own understanding. I have an idea. Lord, you know how to govern and to guide because you've done it in my life. You've done it in the lives of all these here to one degree or another. And Lord, just help us to seek you, Lord, to always call upon you, to always look for your ways in our lives and to be done with sin. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.